The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, Donald Trump says the Israel-Lebanon ceasefire will be extended by 3 weeks after talks at the White House. I'm joined now by Channel 4 News presenter Matt Fry to tell me more. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for being with us again. Is this news of the extension to the ceasefire indication of a truly united front now between the Americans and Israel and their leaders?
Oh, I wouldn't go so far. I mean, the only reason why the last Lebanon ceasefire held was that, having initially disagreed with it after the Iran ceasefire, the Israelis carried on bombing, and then the Americans realized that if the Israelis carried on bombing Hezbollah in Lebanon, it would jeopardize their ceasefire with Iran. And basically, Donald Trump put his foot down, as he does occasionally with Prime Minister Netanyahu, and says, stop it now or else. And the Israelis, of course, listened because they have no choice but to listen to Donald Trump. And the same thing has happened again. The Americans have said, you've got to stop fighting, stop killing people in Lebanon. Although, of course, the Israelis did just a few days ago. They killed two journalists in what was a targeted killing and described by the Lebanese prime minister as a war crime. The Israelis are looking into it, they say. Don't hold your breath on that one. Mm-hmm. I think Trump realizes that if Israel and Hezbollah carry on fighting, this will then jeopardize the ceasefire with Iran, if that is to be extended after this weekend. But remember one thing, Claire, Hezbollah, which is the party that Israel is fighting here, wasn't even around the negotiating table. The Lebanese didn't want them around the negotiating table. Israel and America regards Hezbollah as a terrorist group and doesn't deserve to sit around the negotiating table. But if Iran wants to call upon Hezbollah, its proxies, to get involved in a fight on its behalf, then who's to say they won't, as they did at the beginning of this war? So I think the whole thing is terribly fragile, to be honest.
Yeah, and Donald Trump saying on Truth Social, the United States is going to work with Lebanon in order to help it protect itself from Hezbollah. Is that a likely scenario?
Well, I'm sure that many Lebanese would agree with that, but it could be wishful thinking. I mean, Hezbollah isn't just a kind of terrorist group that's been imposed on Lebanon from the outside. I mean, to some extent it is, but it's also enmeshed in Lebanese society. Lebanon has a Shiite community, and Hezbollah very much doesn't just defend them and speak for them, but also provide schools for them and kindergartens and all sorts of other social services that the Lebanese government traditionally hasn't provided. So Hezbollah, thanks to the Shia community in different parts of Lebanon, is part of Lebanese society. They have several members in the Lebanese parliament. They have two members of the 24-member cabinet are Hezbollah. So it's not like Al-Qaeda or ISIS, a sort of completely extraneous alien body that can somehow be cut out and cast aside or cast adrift. They are part and parcel of Lebanese society. So the only way this works is if the Lebanese government makes peace with Hezbollah and the Israelis are on board with that. But of course, as I said before, the truly alien and disturbing factor in all this is, what do the Iranians want? I mean, Hezbollah is the most important part of their so-called ring of fire, which has been massively depleted thanks to the Israelis and the Americans. But it's still there, and they're still firing rockets, as they did only yesterday. And I can't imagine that Iran would want to give that up easily. I can't imagine that Hezbollah would cut ties with Tehran, you know, as quickly as the Americans and the Lebanese would like them to. So I think this whole thing is very fragile indeed. And remember, the danger hovering over all of this, which was not mentioned yesterday, is civil war within Lebanon. And I mean, the first time I covered the Middle East in the late 1980s, that's how old I am, I was based in Israel, but I did a lot of covering of the Lebanese civil war, which was absolutely brutal, mm-hmm. and tore the country to pieces. So that specter still hovers over the whole thing.
And then coming to the Iran conflict, I see Donald Trump saying that there is confusion and infighting at the top of the Iranian regime now, and that's why we have this stalemate. They're crippled because nobody is in charge. The other theory is that the hardliners in Iran are now taking over because, I mean, we can guess whether those who were there previously were more amenable to American approaches or not. But right now, because of what has happened, you have these hardliners saying stick in, fight and reject diplomacy. So which do you think is the more likely scenario?
Well, I think, I mean, Donald Trump is right when he says there's infighting in the Iranian regime, as far as we can tell. We're not there on the ground. It's difficult to get a real handle on this. But what we do know, and this is, you know, this is from official Iranian sources, that when the foreign minister Araghchi or the president Pezeshkian, you know, offered an olive branch to the United States in the form of a promise, for instance, to, you know, indefinitely stop enriching uranium or to open the Strait of Hormuz completely, as they did a few weeks ago, that was not the case. The strait was immediately shut down again, and there was a denial that they would stop enriching uranium indefinitely. And that very much made us think that actually it's the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps that is in charge. And that's not surprising, because they've always been the kind of rival army to the regular Iranian army. They're the ones, through their domestic besieged militia, who have put down demonstrations, who have killed people on the streets of Tehran in January when they were protesting against the regime and against the parlous state of the economy. They're the ones who run the arms industry. They're the ones who run the Shadir oil fleet. They're the ones who control vast economic enterprises around the world. So they have been strengthened in their position as a result of this war. Also because the original supreme leader was killed by the Americans on day one, who was an umbrella figure that everyone answered to, the regular army, Basij, the IRGC, because he was killed. And because his son, who's probably badly injured, doesn't have the legitimacy that the father did, and let alone been seen or heard in real person in public, it's possible that the IRGC has just taken over. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're resilient. They're claiming victory by dint of just being alive and having a pulse, you know, and they know how to run stuff. And they are the original revolutionary resilient core of the Iranian system that has been in place for almost half a century. So I think those are the people you're dealing with. And that means that whatever the president says or the foreign minister says is probably not worth a string of beans. There were even rumors last week that there were impeachment proceedings against Araghchi, the foreign minister, because he was seen to be too lenient with America.
Yeah, and just seeing the London Times reporting that the new supreme leader, his serious injuries include burns to his face that will require plastic surgery. He's finding it difficult to speak. Now, listen, these are reports. There are those who say that he is not conscious. But what the Times is reporting is that he is still trying to run the country, despite the fact that he's waiting on this plastic surgery. He also is missing one of his legs. So clearly he is very seriously injured. I want to come back to the United States, though, because we always talk about how all of this is impacting Donald Trump at home. I mean, you got to imagine now that this extends into, when did it start? February 28th, wasn't it? Now heading into May, that this is just dire for him back in the United States.
Well, it is dire for him because it was never supposed to last this long. It was supposed to be like Venezuela. You get rid of the main guy and everything else falls into line. They didn't obviously reckon that the Strait of Hormuz would be closed, although this is a very well-worn scenario that the Pentagon has been warning about and the Iranians have been rehearsing for years. But Donald Trump doesn't do his homework. He doesn't pay attention to detail. He doesn't like people telling him things he doesn't want to hear. He's surrounded by a cabinet of sycophants. His Secretary of War, as he likes to call himself, is frankly an idiot. Let's call it what it is. A Christian nationalist, you know, who forces, you know, his generals and staff to pray, you know, and lose weight at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And do press ups.
Not that they're already thin enough. Exam press ups. I mean, you know, this is comedy central, frankly. But I mean, it's not surprising that these people didn't tell him that there would be problems here. And of course, you know, as Caroline Leavitt, very outspoken spokeswoman at the White House said just the other day, the, you know, epic fury has become economic fury. Yep, it is economic fury.
At home.
Both against the Iranians, but also against the world economy. This was never part of the plan. But the problem is you're also dealing with face and with legacy and with reputation. And of course, Donald Trump is caught between the very real necessity of stopping this war and opening the Strait of Hormuz, while at the same time having to claim something that is better than what his predecessor Barack Obama did and claimed with the you know, nuclear agreement with Iran. Mm-hmm. I mean, to think that all this has been done just so that he can say best case scenario at the end of it, the strait that was always open is now open again, sort of. And by the way, I've increased the moratorium on enrichment from 5 years to 10 years. This is after billions and billions of dollars spent, thousands of lives lost, the world economy upended. I mean, it's not a great deal, is it?
It's not. It doesn't look good from any angle. Matt, thank you so much. Matt Fry there from Channel 4.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.